This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to your window into the meaningful impact being made across the Catholic Diocese of Hamilton. I'm your host, Marion Green, and I invite you to join me as I talk with inspiring guests and explore how the Catholic Development Fund creates ripple results. Today I'm joined by the lovely Jill Yong, who is the Youth Office Manager here at the Hamilton Diocese and is based at the Chanel Centre. Welcome, Jill.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, as you know, the purpose of this podcast is to give our listeners an insight into the areas that funding from the Catholic Development Fund, CDF, is put to use within our diocese. Which will, of course, be beneficial for our existing investors and account holders, and, of course, of interest also to any prospective investors out there who may like to come on board with the CDF. So, as a leader within our pastoral team, I'm keen to explore how this key component assists in your work. But just before we do that, the listeners will pick up that your lovely accent isn't a Kiwi one. So before we go into the work stuff, perhaps you can tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to New Zealand and to your current role.
Yeah, so I moved to New Zealand for my current role, actually. Shortly after high school, I decided that I wanted to... I had my reversion to the faith, so I grew up Catholic, had my reversion to the faith, and decided to go to Franciscan University of Steubenville, which is quite a big Catholic university in the States. And so I went there and I studied. I got a theology and catechetics degree with a concentration in youth ministry, so I'm quite literally working in my field.
You are.
And I've done all different kinds of ministry. So I've done parish ministry, started out in a really small parish up in upstate New York, then moved to a big parish in Texas, did some camp ministry, inner city ministry, and then took a bit of a break. And when I was looking at coming back into ministry, it was I was helping to moderate a Facebook group, and the ad for this role popped up. And I said, well, I never really thought I'd move out of the States, and I never thought I'd work for a diocese, but that was kind of the trend. The Lord just had me in all the places that I said I would never go to. So I applied and got the job, moved out here a couple months later once all my immigration stuff came through, and that was 2018. So I've been in this role since. Yeah.
Wow. So quite the journey.
Quite the journey. Yeah.
And how do you feel being so far from home?
Not too bad. There's definitely things that I miss about being home, but this is home now. I always kind of lived far away from my parents. We moved around a lot, so it wasn't really, it didn't feel like a big uprooting of my life. It kind of just felt like, oh, and now I get to go home and spend a long time with my family when I do go home, which is not really something I was able to do when I lived in the States. So it's great.
So yeah. You're almost seeing more of them.
Yeah, just in probably longer blocks.
Yeah, concentrated blocks. And so what would you say would be the main differences between working in the US and working in New Zealand?
I think as much as I think America says it's becoming secularized and stuff like that, the reality is it's still a very Christian society. Whereas I don't think that that's necessarily the case here in New Zealand. New Zealand is much more secularized. You have a lot of people that have never really heard the gospel, and that's quite different. But I think teenagers, especially with social media and like the accessibility of, I don't know, many cultures more than ever, any generation probably, teenagers are all kind of the same, if that makes sense. They're asking the same questions. They're in the same, they're in the same place. Obviously, there's things like mental health here, which is quite a serious problem with mental health with young people. And I would say that that's more prominent here than in the States, in the sense of we have the highest teen suicide rate here in New Zealand. You know,
It's quite a concern, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'd say those are the main differences. I don't think it's too different, to be honest.
What about lifestyle-wise?
Oh, lifestyle, I love it here. Lifestyle, it's much slower. It's slower paced here, which I really struggled with in the States. I was working a lot and didn't have a great work-life balance. In the States, it's very like, how much production can you give us, even in the church, which is not sometimes conducive for a very... Ministry is very emotionally taxing, I think, and you really need to have a good work-life balance. You need... you'd think the church sometimes is really good at supporting that, but sometimes it's not. And so I find it to be much more relaxed here, and which has, I think, supported me in ministry better.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And as far as, oh, you were talking to me the other day about Christmas in the sun.
Yeah. Christmas. It's so hard to get in the Christmas mood here. I love cold Christmas. I love white Christmas. As much as I hate the snow, I love a white Christmas. So I'm going home actually tomorrow for a month, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm excited to get into the Christmas, autumn mood, even though it's spring here. So, yeah.
Yeah, Americans really embrace those, celebrations, don't they? Yeah, Thanksgiving and Halloween and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know how to do it. Yeah.
We know how to party.
So, moving on to your job, your title is Youth Office Manager. So, tell us what that means.
It's a bit of an odd title. I guess in the wider ministry world, my job role would really be is Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry. I basically look after local youth ministers in parishes across the diocese, I run and help to facilitate young adult community, mainly in Hamilton City, because it is quite difficult to go to a place that you've never been and been like, hey, let's create community, but I'm actually not a part of this community.
So there's a difference between youth and young adult?
There is. So youth, we particularly look after probably 12-year-olds to 18, so that are still in high school, and then young adults would be 18 to 35. So quite a big age range, and you kind of get everything in that young adult space, because you have people that are in uni, people that are young working professionals, you have new parents, newly married people, engaged people. It's kind of across the board. And so you really have to put on a lot of hats and be able to journey with people in different stages of life. Yeah.
So you facilitate those events. You've got a team with you?
We have had a team this for the better part of this year. It's been just me, which has been quite difficult. It's the smallest team that we've had with just me. It's traditionally been either 2 to 3 people in the youth office, but we're welcoming on board a new youth worker in mid-December to hopefully hit the ground running in January with youth stuff in the Tauranga Bay of Plenty area.
Wonderful.
So exciting. Yeah. Exciting stuff.
Yeah. So this is the Ripple Results, your inside look at how the Hamilton Catholic Development Fund turns investment into impact. So, Jill, can you tell us a little bit about the kinds of projects or initiatives that your team undertakes and supports? You've mentioned the youth events.
Yep. It varies year to year. So my approach to things is really to hear what our young people and young adults want, and to kind of tailor that. And that changes all the time. Consistent things that we have are our Youth and Young Adult Festivals, so Set Free and Heaven Come. Set Free is for year 10 to 13 high school. It's 3 days. And then we'd get about 24 hours off. And then we go right into Heaven Come, which is for young adults within that age bracket, 18 to 35.
So when are those held and where are they held?
So they are held over school holidays. That was a big shift a couple years ago at St. Peter's College in Cambridge, the boarding school, the real flash one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been great to work with them and to build a relationship there. But this year was our 15th anniversary for Set Free. Started with Bishop Michael when he was a priest in our diocese. And then Heaven Come, which was my baby, I started that, and that was our 5th anniversary. So we get about 150 at each event, which is really good. This year we sold out, which is great. So I think that need is kind of growing a bit, and it's exciting to see how it kind of naturally develops, I guess, organically. And
So those are stayover events.
Yep. So 2 nights, 3 days. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And your fee includes the accommodation?
Yep, and accommodation, like all-inclusive. For young adults, we just do pretty chill, like food and stuff. And then we go out, like our big kind of meals on a Saturday night. We go out and have a nice dinner, and it's good to build community. We get, across the board, I would say, like from all over New Zealand, we get.
That's which is fabulous. Cool. Yeah. Wonderful. What about locally? Any examples you can share?
Yeah, so we just ran, we just finished up a month-long community series. So we went through a 4-part video series where we met once a week, had dinner together, and then watched videos and had discussions on what it means to be community, how do we live out community, how do we invest in community, discern leaving community, that kind of stuff. And so we usually try to do 4-week series a couple times. Other things that we do is our homeless dinner. That's a big one. So we once, sometimes twice a year, depending on how our schedule works out, we do a big community dinner, which is a day. It's kind of a lie just saying it's a dinner. Mm-hmm. But we have haircuts for local homeless. We have lunch, just pop-up cafe that they can come and we can have a chat to them. And then that feeds, this year actually we did about an hour of prayer with them as well, which was the first time introducing any kind of spiritual aspect to that. That was probably my favorite, getting to just sing songs of worship and then get to know them and to ask to pray with them, you know, and really seeing the Lord move in really powerful ways in that space. It's great for our young people, youth, young adults, to be able to serve. That's a really big thing that our young people value. And then, and then we go into dinner. We have a big 3-course sit-down meal. We really treat them and then have donations afterwards for them to pick up. So toiletry packs, we have warm clothes, sleeping bags, that kind of thing. And over the years, it's been something that our streeties have really grown to appreciate. It's cool to see our young people engage with people that are just from a vastly different life and background, and to really be impacted by that, you know, to sit down and have a conversation with somebody who is, just vastly different than you, has a vastly different life, and then to really be humbled and grateful for what you do have. It's cool to see them gain confidence and to be able to be like, oh, you know, it's not super intimidating to just walk up to a homeless person and say, hey, what's your name? What's your story? Do you live on the street? That kind of thing. So, yeah.
And it's probably something they wouldn't do normally.
Yeah.
So these youth, young people and youth that come in and volunteer, they're from the various parishes?
Yeah, different parishes, different schools. With particularly our homeless dinner, because we have people coming off the street that might have some rough backgrounds, we just have young adults volunteering, but our high school students, intermediate students, they make up toiletry packs, they help set up the day before, all that kind of stuff. So that's really great.
And the contents for all that and the donations of the warm clothing and blankets, where do those come from?
We put it out to the community, and the community always shows up. If it's something that I've really learned in the last couple of years doing this, is that the Lord really loves poor people, and he always provides for the poor. And so then we just top up. So we have toiletry packs and we have set things that we want each pack. And then if we need to top up, we have financial donations that come in from people. We have room in our budget that comes obviously from the diocese, from CDF. But
Oh, that's wonderful. So just going back to your role, what's the thing you enjoy the most?
I really love events. I really love doing events. I love creating an atmosphere for people to encounter Jesus. It's a lot. It's a labor of love. Events are not easy to run. And sometimes I think I hit a point every year where I'm like, why am I doing this? And then you get there and the kids get there, or young adults get there, and you're like, oh, this is why. And hearing the stories of encounter and stuff is really powerful. But I also just love doing young adult ministry and journeying with people, getting to know their life, you know, and young adults are cool, you know, like you meet them and they're this young, sprightly, you know, wide-eyed kid, you know, in the world is their oyster, and then you journey with them in their relationship with the Lord, and then, you know, like they, some people, you know, start dating somebody, and then you journey with them through engagement and marriage and then having kids, and it's such a cool privilege to see people and to accompany people.
So you're building this like big extended family.
Yeah. It's sometimes it does feel a little bit like, you know, like I get paid to make friends and to be just in genuine relationship with people, and what an awesome privilege that is. It's very humbling. It's very humbling.
I guess it's like any role, any giving back role, it can be really draining on you. And there will always be times when you think, why am I doing this? But then, as you said, you get those special moments where you see someone flourish, or someone says something and you think, wow, I've really had an impact.
Yeah. And it's like you get in ministry, you get to a front seat into like the most intimate places of people's life, right? And that's a journey with the Lord. Like, that's such a, beautiful thing.
And I guess there'd be times when you'd have someone that was quite closed and then you try to open them.
Yeah, that's a challenge as a community, right? Like, there's also just, you know, community dynamics that you have to manage and that kind of thing. But all of that is part of helping and challenging people. And in that, it kind of challenges me as well, right? Like, I have to be living this for real if I'm going to lead people and walk with people.
Yes, I can understand that. So have you had any highlights in 2025 that you'd especially like to?
Definitely community dinner this year was a highlight for me. I kind of touched on that already. But being able to pray with people, that was like, man, I was buzzing. I was so happy.
So this, you said this was the first time you'd introduced anything spiritual to that event. So before it had just been come and eat dinner.
And like just experience people who love you. And that's kind of the delicate balance, right, is that you're serving a physical need, you know, the works of mercy, but the corporal works of mercy. But also, like, the purpose of it really is also to introduce and be like, Jesus is the reason why I'm doing this. And so it was, I really felt a tug from the Lord to have a time of set aside for prayer and to invite people to prayer, which was, which I think it's really intimidating going to that space. But when you kind of take that leap of faith, the Lord really rewards you a lot. And it was so cool to just see people, you know, really touched by whether it was worship or just individual prayer.
So they embraced it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the beauty of the poor, right, is that they know that they don't have anything. And that there's really an openness to the gospel, to the Lord. Oftentimes I feel like they're like preaching to me sometimes. And I'm like, hey. And they're so hopeful and joyful in a way that I think we as consumers, as people that live in comfort 24/7, you know, are unaccustomed to and really struggle with and grapple with. It was cool.
And I suppose there'd be a range of people who had lost their faith or who had never had a faith.
Yep. Yeah.
And you would watch them either come back begin to.
Yep. For sure. One of the guys that I prayed with, I asked, you know, like, I just felt real prompted. I said, hey, can I pray with you? And he's like, yeah. And then he was just started telling me his story. He started telling me his testimony and how he kind of grew up, I think, in the Mormon church and, you know, his grapple with that and coming to Christianity and what that was like. So it's cool. It's cool to hear that and to hear those stories and to be like, hey, Jesus loves you, man. Like,
And that's a message that, you know, would resonate with them when times are really
absolutely
tough.
And to be like, hey, even though your maybe day-to-day experience is sitting on the floor outside of a shop, right, and people kind of divert your eyes, like, the Lord sees you, and he loves you, and he knows you, and he's looking after you, and like, and I see that, you know, and to just affirm that and to be the voice of affirmation, that's what, like, the whole Jubilee year is about, right, Jubilee year of hope, is to bring hope into yeah. that and to speak into yeah. that. So.
And then that's that real rewarding feeling that yeah. you get, and you think, I've achieved what yeah. I was meant to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So you mentioned earlier that the Lord's always put you where you least want it to go, in a way.
Always. I'm like, I never say never anymore, because I'm like, that's just where I'll end up. Yeah. So, I think when I was young and I graduated from uni, I was very much of the mentality of there's so much work to do in the States. And, you know, like, why would I leave overseas? Never thought I'd leave overseas. Never. I thought I wanted to work in a big parish. And then the Lord put me in a small parish in upstate New York. And I was like, this is the very opposite of what I thought I wanted and what I would have told you that I wanted. But it was so fulfilling to me. The grassroots kind of missionary, really missionary territory. And so when I saw this job, it was a good mix. Because in the States, when you work for a diocese, you don't really get to do ministry. You do a lot of admin, a lot of paper pushing, unfortunately. And my experience of a lot of people that worked in the diocese is they were very out of touch with what it was like to do ministry. And so when this job came, it was a good mix of being able to cast a vision for the diocese, but also being able to do hands-on ministry and be able to be with people and relate to people. And I really love that. And so, yeah, I'm a big vision person. I'm like, where are we going? How do we get there? What are all the things that we can do to get there? And so for me, it was really the best of both worlds. And so
was it a new role, or had there been someone else in that position?
There was a pre-existing role that had been vacant for, I think, about 6 months, yeah.
It's so wonderful to hear, and for our listeners and investors to hear, how the funding or assistance from the CDF is actually doing real stuff.
Yeah,
you know, it's not just sitting in a bank account. It's actually working
and
bringing faith to action, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things that I feel like it we can easily get into this trap of being like program focused, but it's really people focused, and that's how the role really, I think, succeeds, is enabling and empowering people. And a lot of that, you know, it might look to someone like nothing's happening, but the grassroots happening, right? Like, it's a lot of building relationships, building people up to go into their communities, to be the movers and shakers of their community, and to be like, hey, I've journeyed with you. You have a calling on your life that, like, the Lord wants you to respond to. And so how are you doing that? How can I help you build into that? I think that's really powerful and something that we miss sometimes and kind of devalue a bit. Like, the times that ministry has been really hard for me, like, the things have gotten me through are people being like, hey, the Lord has this calling on your life, and so what are you going to do about it? Because that's how you feel fulfilled in life. That's how you find purpose, is you were designed for this. God made you for this. Unique.
And he's put you where you are for a reason.
Yeah, and only you can do this, right? So it's cool.
Mm. And so do you, between the dinners, I'm really interested in those, have contact with the needy and the homeless?
Yeah, so it's quite limited, obviously. We could do so many things with them. But we do, about quarterly, we do lunch with the cathedral. So the youth team does lunch, where youth, young adults do, like, prep and do lunch. Help out at Vinny's sometimes as we can. So Vinny's does Wednesday to Friday, they do lunches, and the cathedral does a Tuesday lunch, so quite a bit. Previously we've done some stuff with the Serv as well, but yeah.
So that's the cathedral on Grey Street?
Cathedral
of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe just one last thing we'll touch on is, how do people get in touch with you?
The easiest way is probably either through email or social media. I'm the person behind all the things. email, which is on, I think, the CDH website, and then social media, Hamilton Youth Office. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. Just flick us a message. That's probably the fastest way to get a hold of us.
So all the events that we talked about, the youth events, the young adult events, they're all advertised on there?
Yeah, all advertised on there, as well as snippets as well, or the church bulletins. So it goes out to that as well, clearly. Yeah.
And how do you get the word out to the people on the street?
We show up to a lot of lunches. So we do about a solid couple weeks where we go to Vinnie's, pass out stuff. I personally carry a lot of postcards in my car, and then if I'm walking down the street or meet somebody, I met a lady this morning actually at New World. Right. Got to connect her, Valerie, pray for her. But yeah, it's just that it's a personal connection. But most of them, like, it's a pretty tight knit community, like the homeless community. Yeah.
So, yeah, and they can feel
quite, and they kind of share amongst themselves and stuff. But yeah,
Right. And the you know, they can feel quite disconnected from the rest of the world.
Yeah,
so it's good
they have their own little thing. We also put out to some organizations that deal with youth homelessness, that kind of stuff. So we had a lot of surprisingly women and young families this year, which we haven't had before. The majority of our people are usually men. But we had a lot of, I think being able to have some connections that I met through actually the gym, of somebody that worked in youth homelessness, so he put it out, and I think that's where that came from.
Yeah, that's wonderful, spreading the word. Yeah. Well, Jill, thanks so much for joining me today and for giving the listeners such a wonderful insight into the ways in which the support of the CDF provides a true opportunity to turn faith into action. I wish you well in all that you do, and also wish you safe travels home to the US and to your family.
Thank you so much.
Go well.
All right.
Thank you for joining us today on Ripple Results. Catch us next time when I will be talking with another inspirational guest about their role and aspirations made possible by the Catholic Development Fund. You can find us wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts, and if you wish to contact us, you can go to www.cdfhamilton.org.nz. or give us a call on 0785 66989.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.